Before we begin, I want to give a gentle heads up that this episode of the Wondering Podcast includes discussions about eating disorders and body image. If these topics are sensitive or triggering to you, please take care of yourself and feel free to skip this episode or return to it when you feel ready. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Wondering Pod. My name is Mary.
And I'm Kira.
And welcome back to episode 2 of season 2 of the Wondering Podcast. We're so excited to be back once again, as always. And it is 9 p.m. right now. 9 p.m. Kira and I just had a fun little meeting about the podcast. We did some marketing materials, which has been really fun because I think both of us really like doing that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So it's like another little creative outlet that we get to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, this weekend we had a really fun photo shoot for the pod with Simon Homer, and he is a great photographer, and we did photos with him.
It's all on film.
Yeah, it's all on film, and he did such a great job, and it was kind of, like, exactly, I don't know, it was, like, better than what I thought it would be, and better than what I pictured. I mean, I had, high expectations, because Simon's awesome, but, like, it kind of ended up feeling like we were just, like, exploring the wilderness, and Simon was just, like, taking pictures while we were doing that. Yeah. And you guys will know when you see the pictures.
My favorite one is the one that we just posted today, which is the 11th of June. And it's a horse that we met. His name was Tucson, or her. I don't know. I couldn't tell. And the guy saw us taking pictures, and he was like, "Do you want to take pictures with my horse?" And then he was like, "Oh my gosh, you guys are matching the horses." And so the one in the photo is the one that had like blonde hair and was blonde. And then there's another brown horse, and Mary and I had the same exact hair as mm-hmm. both of them. Mm-hmm. And then when they were walking away, I turned to Mary and I said, "That's us."
Literally. Yeah. Kira, not to like change the subject or anything, but like, what is something wonderful that happened to you this week?
Something wonderful is, oh, when I went to go home after the photo shoot, I got attacked by my puppies. And that was my most wonderful moment of the whole week, is my dog Smokey and my dog Coda and my other dog Kitsu. And then also the fourth dog's name is Dusty. So I have four dogs. And two of them came running at me, and they jumped all over me, and then the other two came, and I just got to give them so many cuddles and love, and I just love them so much.
I love how that's your something wonderful, because dogs running and jumping on me
that
would
be... That was your
No, that was not my least favorite thing of the week, but that would be, like, my something horrible.
Which is just crazy. Can you guys please roast Mary in
guys,
the comments?
Guys, Smokey bit me.
No, he didn't.
Smokey put his teeth on my hand, and
he
I had a mark on my
kiss.
Hand. That is not a kiss. You do not kiss with your teeth unless you're into that.
He is.
No,
Mary,
it was...
He literally was so excited to say hi to you, and you didn't even say hi to him, and you hurt his feelings. I think you should apologize to him. I told Mary that Smokey's going to be the... What's that word? Efficient?
Officiant
at my wedding.
I think we should have Smokey on the pod. We need to just, like, we need, like, some group therapy.
Okay, so here's the thing, guys. I'm going to make a confession. This is a part of my story. To me, okay, I know that Smokey can't talk. I know that. Like, logically, I know that. But something in me is convinced that he can, and that I hear it. So whenever I'm around him, there is a conversation going on. And I am hearing him speak words. And I don't know how to explain that to you guys. I know it's weird, and I know I should probably go to therapy for it, but...
No.
He can talk, I swear. Like, I see him, and I'm like, either I've just created... I think what it is, I've created a persona for him mm-hmm. that exists
you
in
so
my
have.
Brain.
Uh-huh.
No, I'm mental.
Well, it's like his it's like who he is, though. It's not you haven't created it, because he is his like attitude and stuff. Like,
yeah, he's that's the part of it. Diva.
Yeah.
Yes. But anyways, I just like, I know he can't be on the podcast, but I feel like he'd be the best guest. It's a problem, and I think Mary's slowly starting to realize how big of an issue my obsession with that dog is. Okay, funny story. I have another something.
Do you
wonderful.
Think it's an issue, or do you think it's like okay?
It's okay.
Yeah.
But to everyone else, I know what they
think. I don't
think
it's an issue. I just think you love your dog.
Yeah. So today I was at work, and this lady, she came in, and she had a ring. Mm-hmm. And it was a dog that was like wrapped around her finger. Mm-hmm. And I went, oh my gosh, where did you get that ring? And then she told me that she got it. I forget where she got it, but she got it somewhere. And that you can get a custom ring of your dog. And now they're $300, so I can't get one right now. But that is what I want.
I'll get a custom ring of Kira. Just wrapped around.
I feel like I would be, like, avoiding you for a week after you did that. Like, imagine explaining that to someone. They're like, oh
it's my roommate. It's my roommate.
No.
Oh, are you engaged? Nope, it's my roommate.
It's just my roommate. Why do you have a ring of her? I don't know. I just thought it was cute.
So creepy.
Anyways, I want one of Smokey because then I can always have him with me. And I know people would think it's weird. Like, I know people would think it's weird. But I don't care.
Okay, I get it because, I mean, like, I get it. Like, it's like the same thing as, like, putting, like, hey, having a locket.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Do you realize that whenever he dies, which I don't think he will, but whenever he dies.
He'll be invincible forever.
You are coming to a funeral.
I'm aware.
Him.
Yeah.
And I expect tears.
I will be sad because of how much he means to you.
Yeah.
And because it's Smokey. And it's probably going to hit me at the funeral that I spent all these years being, like, bitter.
Well, okay. Thankfully, he's only 1.5 years old. So mm-hmm. you have 11, 12, 13 years to grow to love him.
That's true.
So, like, think about that. Like, we'll have kids at that point, probably. Hopefully.
Your kids are gonna know Smokey.
Oh, I can't wait.
And his kids.
Well, his kid is only 8 months or a year mm-hmm. younger than he is. So,
yeah.
It's kind of ridiculous. Anyways, what's your something wonderful, Mary?
Oh, gosh, guys, you know, honestly, my something wonderful was probably doing the photo shoot. I had, like, a really, like, a difficult week because I was just, like, dealing with, like, car troubles and, like, random, just, like, a bunch of random, like, adult tasks that I have to do. And I got sick and then I started PMSing and, like, just, like, so many things. So, like, doing the podcast photo shoot was, like, a lot of fun. And I liked being creative. So I think that has probably been my something wonderful. I also have a coffee of the week.
Ooh.
Do you mind if I share?
Yeah, like, is that
okay? Okay. My coffee of the week was, yes, 2 days ago, I went to James Coffee. And I got their I think it's called their Rancher.
Yeah.
And it was like, basically it's like a bourbon maple syrup that they Ooh. Use. Or like a bourbon roast, or bourbon, I don't know. Some sort of like bourbon and maple combo. And it's just like a maple latte. Mm. And I got it, I did get it iced, and it was like really hitting the spot. First thing in the morning, dropped my car off at the shop and went to this coffee shop, and like it hit, and I was like, when it was gone, I was like, no. So it was one of those.
I will also say that the people at the James Coffee Shop where we live, That location is the best. They make the best lots.
Yeah.
Coffee. I've been to other James locations. Not as good.
Yeah. It was really good. It was really like they, it was shaken too. It was a shaken latte. So like the foam that happened like naturally because they shook it was like really like the perfect. Honestly, even like that coffee alone was like part of my something wonderful. Like yeah. It was very good. So yeah, that's my week. And it's getting better every day. I think like as I'm accomplishing tasks and like I find like that making a list actually helped. Like even just getting them all out of my brain today. Like I was like, okay, I just need to like actually write these tasks down, which like usually that's like what I do. But because I like moved and then like I'm starting a new work, like I'm figuring out how I am going to keep track of my tasks and everything, especially like having home and work life now. So like, I'm like, okay, it just felt really good to like get everything down on paper and like out of my brain. So yeah, that's my something wonderful. Yeah, I would love to, since last week Kira got to put me in the hot seat and ask me all these questions, I would love to turn the tables and do origin story part two and ask Kira a little bit about her story this week. So, Kira, I don't know where you want to begin, but would you be able to kind of share a little bit about, or a lot of it, either way, about like how you, I don't know, tell us about you.
Me?
Yeah.
Well,
okay. We can like start with like what has your journey with like the Lord been like?
Okay. Yeah. That's kind of what I was like thinking about it today. I was like praying about like what I wanted to share. And that was more where my heart was leading.
Cool.
Because I think I've talked a lot about acting, but I haven't really talked a lot about my faith and like my story. And I think like the older I've gotten, the more I realize how interesting my story actually is, especially like where I come from and my parents and that side of the story. It's like what the Lord kept on speaking to me is like that my story is such a testament of like healing and redemption, because I think if you knew me when I was like 12 years old, you wouldn't believe like the person that I am today. And I've said that before in other episodes, but it's just so true because there has been so much healing and so much redemption. Like I think of the things that my parents came from, because so I guess I'll start there. So my parents weren't Christians when they met. I guess my mom would say that she was a little bit, and I guess my dad was raised Catholic, but neither of them were like really practicing Christians. And so there was a lot of stuff that came with that. And then my dad got radically saved when I was 6 years old, and my mom came back to her faith around that time too. So I didn't really start off, you know, the first few years living in a Christian house. So I know, even though I don't remember those years, I'm sure that affected me. And also having like brand new Christians with parentheses around it. Like, you know, at 6 years old till, you know, faith takes a long time. That affected a lot of life too. Like I remember being like 8 years old and wanting to wear like a skirt that I found. And it was like a mini skirt. And my parents being like, you know, still figuring out. They were like, you can't wear mini skirts. And I remember being like, wait, what? I was like a year ago and now I can't anymore. Mm-hmm. And so there was a lot of things with that growing up too. But I think the stuff that he's healed me the most from is just my self-image and how I viewed myself growing up, because the markers of me as a child was insecurity and probably fear too, insecurity and just hating myself. I did not like myself. I did not like what I looked like. I didn't like my personality. I thought I was awkward. I didn't like that I didn't know anything because I was homeschooled and I felt like everyone knew everything and people would like talk about actors or they talk about subjects and I just was not exposed to any of that. So I just always felt like I didn't know anything. And that came with, you know, a lot of insecurity. I had an eating disorder, which I talked about on the podcast before, but I had an eating disorder and like it dipped into other like ways of hating myself. And I just remember like just really despising who I was for so many years, probably from the age of like 7, 8 to around 16 is when I started healing. Wow. And another marker of my story is that I didn't have any friends during that time ever. Like I had maybe one or two that would come or go, but because we moved around so much and because I didn't like myself, I had really terrible social anxiety where I just thought people just didn't like me, so I would just never talk to people. But all of that to say, like, when I hit probably, I want to say I was maybe 10 or 11, I remember I had a dream, and it was a very, very vivid dream, and I kind of always grew up having dreams. Like, my parents took videos of me as a kid telling them about my dreams, because I would always have, like, these crazy dreams. Like, I had a dream about this blue man that like showed up at our house and like my parent and like I came to the conclusion that it was Jesus somehow. Like as a kid, I was like, it was Jesus. Like I would love to find that video one day. But yeah, so I'd have dreams growing up, and they would like wake me up in the middle of the night. Like I remember I had a dream once that I had to get ready for school. So I woke up in the middle of the night, it was like 2 a.m. and I got dressed for school and I came downstairs and my parents were like, it's 2 a.m. And I was like, wait, but, and I was really confused. So I always had really crazy dreams, which I still do to this day. So I know that it's a way that Jesus and the Holy Spirit speaks to me. But getting back on track, when I was 10 or 11, I had this dream of like the second coming of Christ. And it was so vivid. And I can still recount it to this day. That something in my spirit like started to turn. And this is when I was like in the pit of a lot of different things that I was struggling with and just like hating myself.
Like 16 at this point?
I was 10 or 11.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So a lot younger. Yeah. And I won't get into like the graphic details of what I was going through, but it was just along the lines of like really hating myself. And so then something in me got stirred in that moment and I was like, I really believe in God. Like I really believe in God. And that was the time when I started really searching. And that searching period like has been my whole life, but there was probably from 10 or 11 till about 17, 18, I didn't really have a lot of education from the church or from anything, but I was begging to find God. Like I really wanted to understand because something in me just had this like overflowing belief in God. Like, because I guess to give context, like, but we would go to church, but that was kind of the extent of my relationship with God. Was like, I believed in God because I went to church, but that was kind of it. There wasn't anything else to it.
Yeah.
But I kind of was like, I really want to know how to do this right. So I just like was constantly searching and searching. And I have this verse that I think just like explains, like what this time in my life was. And everybody, every Christian knows this verse, but it's Jeremiah 29:13, and it says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And that's like what I was doing. Like I was seeking God with all of my heart, even though I was still struggling with all of this stuff. Like I remember like being in the pit of my eating disorder where like I would like pass out randomly walking to my room. like, I would wake up and I'd be like, where are you, Jesus? Like, can you heal me from this?
Mm.
And, yeah, like, just seeing who I am now and seeing that person and the drastic difference of it, it just goes to show you that, like, Jesus has healed me of the things that I asked him to heal me of.
Mm.
Like, he's actually done it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not just, like, another person's story of, like, wanting it to happen. Like, Jesus healed me. Like, no, he actually did it.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it to, like, the fullest extent.
Mm-hmm.
To where now I look in the mirror and I don't hate what I see.
Mm-hmm.
I actually love what I see. And I think about myself and I love myself. And it wasn't, like, I did it on my own. Like, he fully answered that prayer. And so I just feel like people out there just need to know that Jesus does answer those prayers that we ask him. Like, he hears them, even if it takes, you know, a really long time, because I mean, this really started as, like, you know, 7-8-year-old hating themselves. And now I'm going to be 25 in a couple days. And like, that's a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I really didn't see how much I've been healed until these past couple of years, you know, to really see how much he's healed me from. And even like my parents, which it's their story to tell, but like how much they went through and how much like that affected me, and seeing how God's healed me in that too.
Yeah.
Like, there's just so much healing. And so I think my story really is a testament of like redemption, of how God can take, you know, someone so broken and so insecure and make them, you know, healed,
mm-hmm.
because of him and nothing yeah. else, you know? And, yeah, I think also there's one other part of my story that I want to talk about, but that's like tasting and seeing. Mm-hmm. Like the Bible says, like, you will taste and see and know that I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's also something about tasting and seeing that the world is bad.
Mm.
Because yeah. I've experienced both.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've tasted and seen the world. And then I've tasted and seen Jesus. And the difference is, like, I will never go back.
Yeah.
Like, I will never go back to the sin that Jesus has healed me from. Or, you know, the way that I thought about myself
mm-hmm.
that he's healed me from. Because I think the world, or I know the world paints a pretty picture, because, you know, Satan is the father of lies. But when you taste and see like the goodness of God, like when you actually know how beautiful it is to have peace and have like joy and have it come from something that's beyond yourself, you like, you know that it is good, and that like kind of solidifies your faith, mm-hmm. because you're like, I can't go back.
Yeah.
To what I have come from. So.
Mm-hmm. And it's like that joy doesn't go away.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you give yourself to Jesus, like that joy doesn't like come and go, like if things are going well.
Yeah.
It's like, no, like part of like choosing Jesus is like, okay, like things might creep up again, but it's like this time it's going to be different because I'm choosing Jesus.
Yeah.
Like happiness is fleeting. Like the world can try and promise you like happiness, but like joy comes from God.
Yeah. Yeah, true joy. Because it's not ending.
Mm-hmm.
It's forever. It's the hope in eternity and in Jesus. And yeah, and also I think like one thing that I just feel like I want to encourage somebody listening is that nothing is ever wasted.
Mm-hmm.
Like, God doesn't waste anything that happens to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he uses it. And I'm so, like, even though I don't wish any of those things that happened as a kid on anyone, I would never wish that on anyone. Like, I'm so grateful for it at the same time. Because, like, that is a part of my story, and that's how I, like, I think that's the reason why I have so much empathy for people, because it's like the person I was needed so much love.
Yeah.
And so now I like can very easily put myself in somebody's situation of like brokenness and just being like, I understand what that's like, mm-hmm. you know? And yeah. And I think also like, I guess the last little, I said this for the last thing, but the actual last little thing is how like in these past maybe 4 years, God's really refined the desires of my heart to be so healed too. Mm-hmm. Because I think like once you first experience like the freedom and joy of like finally like accepting yourself, like you can take that too far. Mm. But Jesus is like kind of like railed me back in of like, nope, actually like these are the true desires of your heart, which is to like.
Say more on that, like what did that look like in a concrete way? Or like, can you elaborate on what you mean by just like kind of by that?
I guess when I got freed from my eating disorder and I got freed from hating myself, I found a lot of love for myself. And I think that, you know, can lead into like the desires of your heart. I don't know how to say this. Like, I guess there was a time in my life when I was really wanting to do like modeling, which it sounds so crazy coming from like, you know, who I was as a kid, mm-hmm. you know, to then go into that. And I think that that was like a desire of my heart was then like switched to be like, no, actually, like, I want to be the exact opposite. And so now I have to like prove myself to the world because I want to be, you know, seen a certain way. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that any of that is necessarily bad, but I think I think like whenever you get healed from something, the devil's going to try to attack you again in that same area.
Yeah.
And so I think it went from insecurity to vanity.
Interesting.
And I think that now, like, it's been a process. Like, I think it was insecurity, and then it was just desperately trying to love myself, and then it went to vanity, and now it's back to just, like, acceptance and, like, mm-hmm. just this is who I am.
Yeah.
You know? And so that's been really beautiful, too, because the desires of my heart are much more aligned with what God has for me mm-hmm. rather than, yeah. you know, what the world has for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like your identity is in what he, mm-hmm. like kind of how he sees you, not how you want the world to see you more.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, I mean, the devil can win either way, you hating yourself or you really, 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 really loving yourself, you know, mm-hmm. and it means it to vanity.
Yeah.
You know? Or I guess idolizing yourself.
Yeah.
You know, so I think he was attacking me for a really long time in one area and then tried to attack me in another area.
Mm-hmm. So. How has like your walk kind of affected you as an actor, or like when did acting come into the picture?
Yeah, so, I mean, I started acting when I was probably, like, 6 years old, but a big part of it was that I really wanted to be in these lead roles, but because I didn't have the confidence and the social anxiety and I just didn't like myself, I never really put myself out there. So,
yeah.
If anybody ever talks to my family, they'll always say, like, we didn't really think Kira was ever going to actually be an actor because she was so shy.
Yeah.
But the thing was, is I had this passion. I had this desire. Like, I really wanted to do it. Mm-hmm. And I could see myself doing it. And alone in my bedroom, I could do it. Like, yeah. I was going all out.
Yeah.
But as soon as I got in front of people, like, the devil would lie to me and be like, you suck. Like, you do not deserve to be here. Mm-hmm. And I would just shrink away. Yeah. I was nothing, and I would hide in the back, but like my heart was like, I want to be out there, like I want to mm-hmm. be doing it, but yeah. So then, I mean, it like acting in a way helped me to get over my eating disorder because I started doing competitive speech and debate a little before I started healing. Like while I was doing it, I had to take a break from it for a year because my eating disorder was bad. But when I went back, I ended up like doing a speech on it, mm-hmm. which wasn't the best idea looking back because I was still like recovering.
Healing, yeah.
I was still like in the midst of it. I was still severely dieting, but at mm-hmm. least I was eating, you know? But then I really channeled all of that anxiety and that fear around eating into working really hard on my speeches and becoming an actor. Mm-hmm. And so that became a channel for me to really hammer it out. And so, yeah, I mean, I think now I have the confidence to actually, mm-hmm. like, I can walk into a room and be like, I belong here.
Yeah.
Whereas before, like, even if you're so talented, even if you really want it, if you walk in doubting yourself or, you know, with the kind of insecurity that I had, which was so, like, I wanted to be invisible because I didn't want people to see what I saw. Mm-hmm. You can't. Like, it's so hard.
Yeah.
To, you know, actually mm-hmm. be on stage or go into an audition room and be like that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I mean, acting has definitely been a way for me to build my confidence. And even going into the acting classes in school. Like, I think first year at school, I was still a bit insecure and shy. Mm-hmm. But then I think these past couple years, I've really...
Absolutely.
Blossomed.
I think last week you asked me, like, what's the best piece of advice you've received? I'd love to hear that, but I'd also love, like to hear what you would tell someone who is struggling with a similar thing that, like, maybe you struggled with.
I would say be patient with yourself mm-hmm. because God is working, even if you don't see Him. And that, like, there's so much more to life than, you know, disliking yourself. And like, oh gosh, I don't want to say the wrong thing. Yeah, I just think be patient with yourself because be patient with yourself and be patient with God and know that, like, those prayers that you're praying to Him are, like, not going unheard and that He is doing something inside you and through you that you will come to understand one day and that He created you the way that you are for a very specific reason and that exactly how you are is exactly how He wants you to be. Mm-hmm. And that should be enough.
Yeah.
You know, and I know that that's harder done than said.
Yeah.
But it's so true. And just to, like ask Jesus to, like, see yourself the way that He sees you. Mm. Because, I mean, you can't even imagine how much He loves you.
Yeah.
And how beautiful He thinks you are. Yeah. And maybe talk about it because I didn't really start to get healed until I told my mom about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, she kind of had guessed it because, like, if your daughter's passing out, kind of gonna be like, wait, what? But she didn't know for sure mm-hmm. Until I told her about it. And then once I started talking about it.
I think just, like, the advice of even just being patient with what God is doing is huge, but also, like, kind of to add on to that, like, I think He can't heal what we don't bring to Him. Hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Like having humility to be like, God, I need help.
Yeah, definitely. And I know it's a hard battle because especially like I know a lot of people struggle with body image, but and not to downplay that at all. Like that's super, super difficult. But if you are struggling with the eating disorder side of it, which I feel like our culture has healed in a lot of ways from that. And I don't,
mm-hmm.
and I feel like people have like started to value their health more, which is
like holistically.
Which is an amazing thing. Cause I think when I was struggling with all of this, like that was a big thing, was eating disorders. Like that people were talking about them and it was more prevalent, you know, maybe, I guess, 7, 8 years ago. I don't even know. I'm not going to do the math. But whatever it was.
Like in the early 2000s. Well, and like the 2000s.
Not that old.
No. Well, like it was like not widely talked about until recently.
Yeah. Like until maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess it would have been, what, like 6 years ago, 7 years ago that I would have been like
mm-hmm.
getting healed. Yeah. Well, anyways, back to what I was saying. Like, if you actually are struggling with the eating disorder side of it, like, it can be really hard because when you're not nourishing your body, your brain starts to not work fully. And it just kind of is a cycle where you're not nourishing your brain, you're not eating fat. If you're not eating enough food, your brain's not working, and that makes it harder to get out of an eating disorder. So it's just like you have to really like fuel yourself and take care of yourself in order to really be able to understand what's going on. So it's definitely a journey, but it is nothing that God cannot heal,
mm-hmm.
and that He will heal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, is there anything else that you wanted to share?
I'm trying to think if there's anything else. It's a big part of my story.
Yeah.
I guess, like, the last thing I'll say is how, like, I was so desperate for Jesus, and I have been so desperate for Him for forever. Like, that desperation is, like, still there. Like, I still just desperately want and need Him because He's my everything. And, like, that verse, Jeremiah 29:13, that you'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart,
mm-hmm.
is so true. Like, He is so willing to be there with you.
Yeah.
And He is so willing, and He desires to heal you, and He desires to see you at your fullest potential. And so if you seek Him and you ask Him for something, He is not turning the other way.
Mm-hmm.
He is opening that door and inviting you in.
Yeah.
In fact, it's the other way around. He's at that door,
mm-hmm.
waiting for you to open it.
Mm-hmm.
He's ready for you. He's eagerly awaiting you to just invite Him in, mm-hmm. to anything that you're struggling with, no matter how broken, no matter how lost you feel. Like, He is still there, and He wants you to mm-hmm. ask Him for help.
Yeah. I think, like, you used the word, like, searching early on. Like, you were saying, like, how you spent a lot of your life searching for Him. And I feel like even when you know Jesus, it's, like, a different kind of searching. It's, like you can spend a lot of your life searching, but then, like, I think, like now we can, like, seek Him.
Yeah.
You know, 'cause we know Him.
Yeah. And I think also, with, like, the way that I feel like I'm searching now is, I want to see, like, the heart of Jesus so bad,
mm.
of, like, how He sees situations. Like, Jesus, mm-hmm. how do you see this situation? Like, the other day, this is kind of a funny story, but I was at church, and people were getting baptized. And I was like having to, I was trying to hold back sobs because something in me was just like feeling everything, not everything that God felt, but just like the part of, like, I felt like they were like my kids coming home. Like, I was so excited. I was like, there's no way.
Yeah.
They're getting baptized right now. I didn't even know these people.
Yeah.
I don't even know their names to this day, but I was like, I can't believe it. I can't believe they're coming home.
Yeah.
Like, that was what my heart was like saying. And I was just weeping. I was like, that's embarrassed. So like, there was beautiful. These teenage girls like watching me. I was like, no, please don't look. But yeah, it was crazy. It was,
it's like God gave you like a glimpse into how he feels about you and them.
Yeah, I mean, like, I can't even imagine how he feels if like my human form not knowing these people felt.
Yeah.
You know, like, I can't imagine, like, he knitted them in their mother's womb. Like, he knows them, like, how he feels.
Mm-hmm. And he was there with them literally every time they said yes and every time they said no to him. Like,
yeah,
he was there, like waiting for them to, like, say yes and do the thing. And then, like, yeah, to finally have them come home.
Yeah.
Must just, I don't know.
I know.
And, like, the walk isn't over when you get baptized. Like, it's just begun. It's just rebirth. Begun,
but
you know?
It's like, oh, it's just begun. But there is just something so beautiful about that. Mm-hmm. Like, you've chosen, and that's like the tasting and the seeing. Like, when you're baptized and you taste it for the first time of like, this is my new fresh walk. Like, I just, one of the big things that I hope that I get to see in my life is like somebody fully giving their life to Jesus that I know. Like, maybe somebody that's like not walking with God that like, that I know, just like fully give their life to Jesus. Because I don't know, I just, that excitement in me, I don't know if it's selfish or whatnot, but I just want
to
see it.
Well, it's not, because you want them to live to the fullest of how they were created, which is like,
yeah,
living like in communion with God.
Yeah. And it's like that, it's that spirit of like being a disciple, of like, you want people to drink this water. You're like,
mm-hmm,
you're dying.
Mm-hmm.
You're literally dying. Mm-hmm. Drink the water.
Mm-hmm.
And you have it. And you're like giving it to them. Yeah. And they're like, no, I don't need water. And you're like, no. But you need, like, the water. Drink it.
And they'll look everywhere for that water.
Yeah, they'll literally like,
they're drinking like battery acid over there.
Yeah, and you're like, please, like, you start to get desperate
fresh water, like
fresh water.
They're drinking salt water.
And it's so hard to be explained, because if you've never tasted that water,
mm-hmm,
how would you know?
Mm-hmm.
How would you know how good it is?
Yeah.
And it's just like, when you taste it and you see how beautiful Jesus is, and how he can take those things that you didn't even know were broken,
mm-hmm,
and fix them.
Yeah.
It's just beyond,
mm-hmm,
amazing.
Yeah. And then he wants to go like deeper and heal things you didn't know like, yeah, you needed healing. And like, the more you walk with him, the more you like realize, oh, like, I didn't even realize God wanted to heal this in me. Like, yeah. I didn't even realize this was something that needed to be healed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And also, he's, like, right about everything.
Yeah.
Like, you read the Bible and you're like, dang.
Yeah. Well, it's, like, even
that's
just...
right.
Yeah. Even just, like, realizing that, like, the Bible isn't just storybook. Like, yeah, it's not just, like, a nice... It's like, that's a nice quote. Or, like, that's a nice thing to hear, you know? But it's like, no, like, literally, if you seek God with your whole heart, like, what is it?
Seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Should I read the whole verse? Okay, I'm going to start from 11.
Okay.
And this is not, like, the full chapter. This is just, like, kind, mm-hmm, of the most common part of it. But it's Jeremiah 11, or 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I've driven you, declares the Lord. and I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile.
Like, the fact that that's, like, literally, like, God is saying that to me. Like, he literally says, I know the plans I have for you. Like, it's nothing is random. Like, he knows the plans that he has for you, Kira. And if you seek him with your whole heart, like, he'll reveal that to you. Yeah. And like, that's not just, like, random. That's not, it's just, like, a nice thing for him to say, like, or for us to hear. Like, it's, like, literally true, or it wouldn't be there.
Yeah. Okay, wait. I want to say something kind of radical.
Okay.
Okay. Because people don't ever talk about this.
Okay.
Like, but say it in, like, such simple, dumb terms. So hear from me first.
Okay.
But, like, I have a desire to worship something.
Uh-huh.
Like, I have that desire to worship something. And it makes so much sense that I'm worshiping this God who created me. Okay, maybe that doesn't sound so radical.
It's not radical. I just, like, I've never, like, I haven't heard anyone say that before. Like,
when you really think about it, don't you want to worship something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to, like, I mean, like, yeah.
Like, I like, have this, like, instinct in me to, like, be like, yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Or, and like, it's just.
Well, it's like idols, right?
Yeah, like, think about collectibles.
Having a collection of things. Well, okay. Like, social media. That's an idol.
Yeah.
Or it can be an idol. Like, TV can be an idol. Power, like, your career. Money, sex. Power. Like, all of these things that we put our identity into, we put our time into, like, things that we put before God, unfortunately, at times, right? Like, when they become things that we worship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah. It just sounds radical to say it out loud of, like, yeah, I really want to worship something.
Yeah.
But I think that that's just the reality is that we all have, like, we all are being subject to a God.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense that we would have that in us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy, man.
Dang. Shoot. Okay, well,
I don't know anything else to say.
I think we're done.
Okay.
Anyway, well, this has been fun. Next week, guys, we'll have a special guest on.
Yay.
I hope, if all things go well, that's what's going to happen next week. But thank you for listening this week. Thank you, Kira, for being so vulnerable and sharing your story with the people. I want to encourage everyone once again to think of something wonderful that happened to them this week, or something wonderful that God's doing in your life. And maybe just, take that to prayer. Think about it, reflect on it, or, like, comment.
Yeah.
Be like, I really liked that Jersey Mike's sub I had today, you know, something like that. It can be random. It can be really good and deep. I'd love to hear a bit of your story too. With all that said, thanks everyone, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Ew, I didn't like that. Let me try it again.